Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us today from the first reading taken from the book of Acts, chapter 9. In verse 18, we hear, "And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened." How much do you like being wrong? It seems to be a very quiet Saul that we see early in Acts chapter 9, silently processing what's just happened to him. His way of understanding and functioning within his world had been wrong. His notion of what pleased God had been wrong. As if to underscore just how wrong he had been, God blinded him for 3 days. It was like God saying, "This is what you were, Saul, blind to the truth." Adding insult to injury, Saul was depending on the help of a Christian, just the type of person that he had been trying to eliminate. Saul had a lot to think about as he sat in darkness in that house on Straight Street. He had to find out how wrong he had been before he could do anything right. It was a painful process. We're told he wasn't in the mood to eat or drink for those 3 days. But it was a necessary process. As a rule, we try to avoid suffering. But it's often suffering that forces us to grow. Pain forces us to change. As far as the Christian calendar is concerned, it is still the Easter season. The story of Saul's turnaround is a dramatic example of Easter in action, for it's nothing less than a conversation with the living Lord Jesus that shook the foundations of Saul's life. It was an audience with Jesus, once dead and now very much alive, that changed Saul's mind. Saul's conversion is great circumstantial evidence for the reality of Jesus' resurrection. What I mean is, why else would someone like Saul change so thoroughly? From a worldly perspective, he had nothing to gain by following Jesus, and in fact, he had everything to lose. He had been thoroughly convinced that he was doing the right thing until the risen Jesus appeared to him. And now something new is going to blossom in Saul because of his contact with the Jesus of Easter. A new person was about to emerge from the old. Saul was getting a second chance. And it's right at this point that we meet someone named Ananias, one of those great unsung saints of Scripture who makes up the supporting cast of God's plan of salvation. Ananias was a Christian living in Damascus, and he's contacted directly by the Lord and told to go minister to Saul of Tarsus, who he'll find sitting in a house on Straight Street. Understandably, Ananias offers up a protest because everyone knew Saul's reputation as a persecutor of the church. But the Lord reveals his thoughts regarding Saul's second chance. He says, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." To his credit, Ananias goes and finds the man who had been one of the most intimidating enemies of the faith. Can you imagine the thoughts and feelings that would have been swirling around in Ananias as he approached the man who had relished binding Christians and putting them in prison? But when he gets there, Ananias speaks only words of grace, beginning with, "Brother Saul." Can you imagine that? "Brother Saul." And he says, "The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to you so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately his vision is restored. His entire way of seeing the world is remade as he is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And now his second chance has really begun. And Saul made the most of it. According to verse 22, Saul pretty much immediately went to the synagogues of Damascus and started preaching. And according to verse 22, Saul confounded the Jews in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now, to confound means what? It means to perplex, to amaze, to bewilder, to stun. Saul would continue confounding his world with the cross of Jesus as his message and a Christ-like life as his letter to the world. You know, the gospel of Jesus to this day continues to confound, perplex, amaze, bewilder, and stun and save people. If you can admit where you've been wrong, God can give you a second chance. His forgiveness is full and complete and total. His love for you is unconditional. This is the source of deep spiritual strength. And it's a different type of strength than we're used to. From a biblical perspective, spiritual strength is a matter of relying on someone else, of leaning into and depending on someone besides yourself. Typically, we think of strength as something I have to have. If I want to be physically strong, for example, I have to exercise, lift weights, take a jog once in a while. But spiritual strength is different. It's a shift of focus away from self and onto God. And those who make that shift experience something like Saul did. The way you see everything is remade. And I mention this in part because 3 out of the 4 Bible verses selected by our confirmands for today directly mention the subject of strength. We have Nehemiah 8, verse 10, "And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Philippians 4, 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And Philippians 2, verse 13, it doesn't use the word itself, talks about the source of strength when it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." I think it's really worth considering that our young people have identified the need for spiritual strength and have chosen verses that locate such strength in God. What a great thing to have in mind as they stand before you today and confirm their baptismal faith. What a great thing to carry into the next stage of life, whatever stage that might be. You can withstand the storms of life, and the good times are made even better when you shift your focus away from self and onto God. He is perfectly dependable, perfectly loving, perfectly wise and strong. He is the God of second chances. Trust Him, and you'll have the strength you need. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, because of the sacrifice of Your Son Jesus on the cross, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that in Your grace there is spiritual strength for us, because we never need wonder if we are loved, if we are treasured. If You want us as Your children, we can know all of these things are for certainly positive because of Your work on our behalf. As we hear the confirming words today of our young people, we pray that You would give them strength that comes from Your word and sacraments. Allow them to see this day as a milestone in their journey of faith, that they will continue with You every step of the way. Lord, please give them confidence and peace as they give answer to the questions that will be asked of them in just a few moments, so that they may find joy in standing for You in every area of their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.